In the studio with me, even Alexander McDamp, and we are talking about the upcoming ArabNet and, of course, other issues to do with technology that's taking place at the moment. And we were just having a really interesting conversation there, weren't we, Alex, I can't speak today. My teeth have got stuck. Talking about, you know, the use of social media and technology, and how people, like you saying, which is really interesting, you sat down for a really beautiful dinner, and rather than get stuck in and eat it, the first thing you did is pull out your mobile and take a photo of it.
Yeah, and that's the last time I did it. I cancelled my Instagram account. I won't do that ever again. It just struck me as such a stupid thing to do. There's actually a lovely Tumblr blog called Pictures of Asians Taking Pictures of Food, where somebody's actually gone around taking pictures of people, because people from Asia have a tendency to do this. I think generally they're more, Asia is a more aware and bought in mobile market. You know, Japan, Docomo has often led mobile data, but that's what people do. And the idea of sitting down to a plate of food that somebody's cooked you, somebody who loves you or somebody who's taking money for it, and then just letting it get cold while you photograph it. What insanity.
Yeah, I know. And we were talking, we won't necessarily talk about the events because they're not that savoury, but certain events taking place, you know, across the globe where people are so busy filming them. And there becomes that moral question of, rather than filming them, should they be stepping in to actually help? And that's a really difficult one, isn't it?
I don't think it's necessarily very difficult, because if you're a journalist, your job is to record events and to be a dispassionate observer, and that's what you do in your life. And you have to live with yourself. The fact of the matter is, if the child in front of you is dying, the photograph is what matters to you. If you try and help that child, you suddenly become partial within those events, and you've endangered the lives of every journalist around you. So that's kind of simple, morally, if you like. Now, if it's you or I, as you've said, there's a tendency now for people to whip out their mobiles and film the event rather than actually go and help the person. And I think that's a terrible, terrible thing. You know, where's our compassion? We're not all journalists. We're sharing stuff on social media. Eyewitness accounts are so important in so many ways. And yet, at the same time, we're humans. Surely compassion comes first. It's a bit like my plate of food. The food comes first.
Yeah, exactly. And getting your priorities right is certainly important. And of course, it comes back to social media as well, doesn't it? Our use. It's a great thing. You know, families are extended. You can put up the photos. Everyone can keep up to date, because unfortunately, rightly or wrongly, maybe we don't write as many letters and we don't personalise those messages as much as we can. So we kind of upload. But there gets these dual lives out there, doesn't it, in terms of people posting a certain picture and you think things are going well with them, and actually the reality is very, very different.
It goes back to something that I remember seeing in Chester in the UK. My wife was there on a residential teaching course, and I got to spend a week just wandering around Chester. And it reminded me that Japanese tourists think the world is square, well, rectangular, because they only ever see it through a viewfinder. They're always photographing everything rather than actually experiencing them. And of course, we've started doing that as well in our daily lives. We're always going, oh, there was an event. I might share that. You know, I'll put that on my Facebook, and I'll link that on Twitter. And hang on a second. Why don't we all just calm down a little bit and think, well, maybe we want to live this event. And I know that's odd advice coming from me, because I'm very famous for being, you know, very linked and very, very passionate about these things. But I also think there's room for balance. There's room for balance in our lives where we can say, yeah, this is worth sharing. Maybe I'm oversharing. Maybe that's not worth sharing. And maybe this is something I'll keep to myself as an experience. And I think that's a conscious decision you have to take in this world where there's a huge pressure now to constantly share everything with everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a big one. We've covered it many times on the show, you know, particularly with people entering the world of Facebook, you know, whether they're applying for jobs or teenagers or younger children, you know, knowing where that line is, because quite frankly, once it's up there, it's up there. But even as adults, we're guilty of that, you know, can get a little bit carried away, and it comes from a good place. You know, we want to share a particular image, but we do have to be a little bit careful, don't we?
And I do feel sorry for today's teenager, because my embarrassing 13-year-old poetry is in a box and I know where it is, and it's sealed and it's never going to get opened. But theirs is on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. We're getting a lot of interesting reaction about the crowdfunding for Nabesh as well. A couple of people saying, you know, can we have more information on how to invest in Nabesh? We've got two people coming up there with questions about how to get involved. So I don't know if you've got information on that, or
yeah,
we can certainly...
You can go to nabesh.com. You can go to eureka.com, which is eureeca.com, which is the crowds investing website that Nabesh is using. You can follow @NabeshTweets on Twitter. And all those ways will take you to the story. Or you can follow me on Twitter, Alexander McNabb, and I'll share links with you.
Yeah, okay. So that's how you can get involved with that crowdfunding. And kind of talking about, you know, social media and interaction and instant communication, then, of course, we've had the news this week that the last telegram is going to be sent. And, you know, I kind of felt a little bit sad about that. I mean, I know it's probably time for it to go away, but we all kind of remember those special occasions when a telegram arrived, you know, be it a wedding, you know, so it's kind of part of our history passing by.
You just made me feel so old. I actually remember a wedding where the telegrams were read and they were telegrams.
Well, I had one at my wedding. I'm not that old.
I mean, what do you do now? Read the Facebook updates.
Yeah.
The telegram. And it's so, so sad. You know, 144 years ago, Samuel Morse sent the first telegram. And next month, on the 14th of July, the last one will be sent. Funnily enough, in India. And the telegram actually is important to us here in the UAE. There's a tiny little piece of Emirati history tied into the telegram, because the telegram cable from the UK to India, which was so important to the Raj in its latter days, went through the UAE. It went through Bahrain and it staged off near Kassab in the Musandam Peninsula. You can actually take a boat out to it. There's a little island called Telegram Island, which used to contain the staging post for the telegram, with two little Brits in it in a wee outhouse who looked after the telegram staging post. And apparently, the local story is, that's where the phrase going round the bend came from, because the two of them got a supply ship every 6 months, and apparently half the time the supply ship came round the bend to find they'd gone completely nuts, stuck in a tiny island near the Musandam Peninsula. But that's still there as a piece of history, Telegram Island or Telegraph Island. And so that's finally come to an end. The 14th of July, the Indian phone company, the Bharat Sanchar Nigam Limited, will send the last telegram. They're currently spending $23 million a year keeping the telegram service alive. They're only sending about 5,000 telegrams. It's just not worthwhile. So they're going to shut it down. What the last telegram is ever going to say, I don't know. Maybe goodbye and thanks for all the fish.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it was such a part of history. And as you say, history evolves. And, of course, that was the first social media in a way. If you wanted to get something quickly and safely somewhere, then you sent a telegram rather than a letter, very much like social media today.
No, massive information revolution event. I mean, literally it was the first universal point-to-point instantaneous way of sharing messages around the world. And if you look at the world it lived in 144 years ago, you know, you're looking at horse-drawn carriages. The ability to send an instantaneous message around the world was quite a biggie.
Yeah, and changing the face of history. And I mean, what's out there on your horizons? Because you're always casting about and looking at all the latest developments. What's kind of looking new and interesting to you? Because everything turns over so quickly, it's hard to keep a track on everything.
It is hard to keep a track. And one of the things that's been interesting me is the idea of the Facebook hashtag, because Facebook has become the Microsoft Windows of the social networking world. Anytime Facebook sees something it likes, it sort of subsumes it and brings it into itself, until you've got this huge fat waddling monstrosity that's all things to all people, and yet somehow has become so big and so all-encompassing that it's difficult to get your head around the whole thing. So Facebook has looked at Twitter and Twitter's hashtags. Now, a hashtag is a way on Twitter of you saying, well, I think this topic's important, so I might have a hashtag for Dubai Eye. So anytime anyone wants to talk about Dubai Eye, they tweet to hashtag Dubai Eye, and you can search for that hashtag and look at that that content, those tweets. And you can set up things like Hootsuite and TweetDeck to search for hashtags constantly. So if I'm interested in aviation, for instance, I can search for hashtag aviation. Anytime anyone in the world shares a tweet about aviation, I'll see that tweet. That's quite a powerful information management tool. Mm. Now Facebook has introduced the hashtag into Facebook. So in a Facebook update, you can put a hashtag, which is the little hash symbol, and then the subject you want to give a hashtag to, maybe social media. So I'm talking to Sarah about hashtag social media. It's something I put in my Facebook update. And then anybody who is my friend can search for the hashtags and find that. If I've made it public, anybody in the world can search for the hashtag and find that. So Facebook has brought a big feature of Twitter. Incidentally, not invented by Twitter, but actually invented by Twitter's users.
Yes, yes. And isn't that an evolution? And actually, is it a little bit terrifying that can you hashtag people so that you can even more reasons, you say your 13-year-old poetry locked in a box. But if you hashtag a person, then you can really find out a lot of information very quickly about someone.
Well, if you search somebody, for sure. I mean, you just go to Google and search for yourself and you'll find out probably that you've already shared more of yourself than you necessarily wanted to. But hashtags are important, actually. They're quite an interesting information management tool. So they've come to Facebook now for all that anybody cares about that. So Facebook does one more thing that you don't necessarily want it to do. One thing that's worth noticing, your privacy settings in Facebook still come above everything. So even if you put a hashtag on your update, somebody who's not your friend, if your privacy settings are set to friends only, won't be able to find that.
Yeah, so and I think that's an important so people know the rules of the game. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Alexa McNabb there, talking about ArabNet, amongst other things, up and coming exhibition taking place, a director of Spot On PR.